Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg Williams right here in my home in an awesome city called Houston, Texas. So welcome to the program tonight. And if you're with us for the very first time, I welcome you and just hope you just sit back and grab a nice beverage to drink, some water or soda or coffee, and just sit back and relax. And hopefully you'll enjoy the program. You are stuck with me tonight for the next 58 minutes. I will try to just talk continually all the way through that time. But we're going to invite you also to get involved in the program. I'm already getting people texting me, asking me who's on the show tonight and what's the topic tonight and things of that order. Of course, when I get close to the program, I don't really answer those because I'm getting ready to come on here live. But our guest was not able to make it tonight, so I'm just going to go off the cuff tonight and talk about what we're getting ready to go into this coming week. So this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and it's kind of the kickoff also for the entire rest of the year for holidays and for the Christmas holiday and for family all coming in and all the stress of that and all the anxiety of that and the hustle and bustle. But we're going to talk about all of that tonight. I'll share with you a little bit of stuff on my heart that I thought about this week and dealing with inside my own mental health issues that I have, and going to discuss those things with you and how I got through or getting through and learning how to adapt to those things in my life. But anyway, if you want to get involved, you feel free to text me like a lot of people do, 832-396-6525, 832-396-6525. Text me during our commercial break tonight, which is the bottom of the hour in about 25 minutes. I'll check that and we'll read your comments or answer your questions if you have it that way. Or you can get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. It looks like we are up and running on that, and comment on that. And I'll be watching that also right here. It's right off here to the side. And the best way, I think, is I'd love to just have you call into the program. Thomas will patch you right on through from the BBS radio station into the program. And that phone call is toll-free, 888. Isn't everything toll-free anymore? Anyway, 888-627-6008. And I'd love to have you call tonight. And basically, what I'm going to talk about is a little bit of stress, a little bit of choices that we make, good, bad, or indifferent, how we deal with happiness, and sometimes it's our choice. And then we're going to talk about the holidays. How do you get through the holidays? And when we get down to probably the last half hour, 40 minutes of the program, I'm going to try to just give you a wealth of information on how do you cope with the anxiety of holidays? How do you manage it? How do you deal with sad? And we'll talk about what sad is. It's a phenomenon that is real inside people. And we'll talk all about that just shortly. 888-627-6008. For the people that are new listening to the program, I think I have some Ohio people on this evening. Welcome to the show. And apologize for the last week or two for repeats, but we're live now, and hopefully we'll be live through the rest of the year. And we have some great programs coming up in the near future. So I just scheduled a couple great ones in January also that I just can't wait to have on the program. So let's just kind of get into the program tonight. But don't forget, that's the number, 888-627-6008. If you want to, grab an ink pen and a piece of paper or a journal and start writing some of these things down. I don't know what you're dealing with in life, but I know it seems like every now and then we battle being happy, being joyful. Happiness and joyfulness are two different things. If I hand you a $100 bill, that may make you happy. But there's no way that $100 bill is going to give you joy. And I think in that process, we need to understand the same thing. We've been talking about this at church for the last couple of weeks about being grateful and being thankful. The difference between happiness and joy is happiness is a mindset or reaction to something that happens from something that happens to us. It's how we respond to a life event. For instance, I was driving right down Holcomb, which is right down there, Friday, heading to the doctor's office, and was going to go by McDonald's first to get a drink. They're doing construction work. The mayor of Houston is really gearing everything up in Houston right now, and every street's under construction, which is a good thing when it's actually going to be all finished. But it seems like, does that ever finish? I don't think so. But anyway, and I was lickety-splitting down Holcomb, and I hit a hole and blew out a tire. That was not what my day had on my life's agenda. It wasn't in my daytimer. Matter of fact, I had a little extra time. We were trying to get to the doctor and thought, hey, we have a few minutes early, so we'll run down and get McDonald's, and then we'll head to the doctor's office. I was going for a gastro appointment. Ended up having to, because of the flat, it knocked out the side of the tire, so we knew there's no way you can just put air in it and make it to the places you need to go to. And then we ended up leaving it at the gas station and walked all the way to the doctor's office. And I can't walk very well, especially that long, endurance over time. So by the time I was going two or three blocks, I was starting to get that stress buildup. And I don't know, I have one something here. But, you know, it's like, when I talk about it at all my seminars, I usually have a soda bottle, and it's, you know, it starts building up and it just starts churning up inside of you. And you can feel the pressure coming up inside. And you think, am I really going to let this event that I may have, if I drove better, more carefully, been able to prevent, but am I going to allow that event to take the joy out of my day? And some days, I have to be honest with you, some days something will happen that will absolutely throw up a brick wall or take off something that I can't fix, and it messes up my entire day. Am I the only one that feels that way? I don't know. But as we go into this holiday season, I want to encourage you that you have to choose on some days to pick happiness. And that will eventually lead to joy, because nothing can steal my joy. No matter what's wrong with me physically, no matter what's wrong with me emotionally or relationally or financially. Nothing affects my joy. That is a standard and a foundation that I have. Nobody can sneak in and defecate on my joy and cause it to be like a balloon, pop it, and it fly around the room and fly out the window. Can't do it. Joy is something that comes from within and my belief system and my values. It's what I have placed my life and my heart into. But sometimes happiness is a choice. And we're going to give you four or five things before we get into the holiday stress, because I think this all connects. And I have all night with you tonight for the program. So let's just not rush through it like I normally do. And I'll try to slow down my speech, because I get told all the time, you talk way too fast. Happiness, there's some laws, kind of like Murphy's Law. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know. But there's some laws, there's some choices that you can make. And I'd like for you to write these down. Happiness is something that you create. If you try to look for happiness, you're never going to find it. It's based on the choices that we make. And on some days, you're as happy as you choose to be. And the encouraging thing is about happiness, it's easy to create that mindset. And as we go through these tonight, I think maybe you'll figure out that maybe it is a choice. Two, happiness isn't a goal. It's not a finish line. Making happiness in a goal in life will always have the opposite effect, because there's going to be events like happened to me on Friday that'll automatically come in and steal the happiness of the day. Not the joy. We're talking about two different things. But the happiness. So if happiness is the goal, it's always going to predicate or lean on or be dependent of something that happens exactly the way you want to, so you'll be happy. It'll actually guarantee you won't be happy if you have that as a goal. Happiness comes from right thinking, right living, and right acting. And it's a byproduct, but never, ever the goal. I'm going to get through tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. We have the Monday blues. Going to get through to tomorrow, and I'm going to get through that day happy. That can't be the goal. You have to take it as you go. Every speed bump, every hole in the road, every downhill where you get to glide, all that stuff you have to handle with that mindset of how are you going to create it. And your habits, number three, creates your happiness. Let me say that again. Your habits, the things that you have in line and how you handle things, create your happiness. You shape your happiness, and then your happiness ends up shaping you. But even better yet, let's turn that around. You create your habits, and your habits will create you. Same with happiness. So in this, you're going to find out that you're going to have behaviors that lead to happiness and how you can turn them into a deeper habit for your life. Number four, only got five of these. We're going to change the mode we're going here. Number four, happiness is based on happenings. So that's a good way to be able to remember. Happiness is based on happenings, and it's only temporary. For instance, that same illustration, I give you a $100 bill. Eventually, that $100 bill is going to get spent, going to get lost, going to go to bills, whatever. And then what's going to make you happy? Another 100? Is that what the process is? No, happiness is only temporary, but happiness built on habits is long-lasting. A circumstance, an occasion, a situation will come to an end. And as soon as it's over, you could lose that happiness. So what are you basing your happiness on? Fifth thing. Happy habits are as addictive as bad habits. But lean into, hello, but they're so much more rewarding. Happy habits are addictive as bad habits, but the payoff is so much and far more greater. Habits of any kind take time to grow. Cravings at any time take time to grow. I've always heard that, for instance, if you would eat a Twinkie every day at 10 o'clock for 7, 8, 10 days, on that 11th day, your body, your mind, your mentality, your whole personality will crave that Twinkie on that certain day. You are dependent on that, and you will start wanting that. So if you create habits and let those habits rule and kind of push away those bad habits in your life, it's going to develop something that you're going to be in the process of rewarding yourself on the long term. You don't develop these good habits overnight. They require constant practice to become a part of your everyday life. And in that, there's several different ways. And I'm not going to go through all these tonight because I want to get to the holidays. But there is something that I think we need to be able to incorporate in our life to turn happiness into a habit. And the first thing we need to get rid of and deal with and obtain, maybe as a better word, we need to act with humility. If you really went down here, back down here on Holcomb, it's too dark now. I would never be walking down on Holcomb in the middle of the night. But let's say tomorrow morning I'm up in the medical center, walking down Main Street or Fannin, and I just start seeing people come in and out of the hospitals, and I ask them, hey, what's the path to happiness? What do you think some of the answers would be? So just pretend I'm interviewing you right now, okay? So you're on the program. I say, hey, what's the key to happiness? What's your path to get there? And I almost promise you that 90, 95% of the people would say something like a good education, a good job, getting married, having a family, making a lot of money, retiring. But, you know, I don't think I know many people who have all of that and aren't happy. Maybe you do, but I think it's important that we humble ourselves. I can tell you a lot of the reasons humility unlocks true happiness and why pride guarantees the opposite, unhappiness. But I'm going to focus just real quick, and then I'm going to take a commercial break, on one reason in particular. And that reason's conflict. Now, as we go in to the holiday season, you're going to be with a lot of family. There may be conflict. There may be people sitting around that table that you just flat don't respect anymore, have treated you wrong, have betrayed you, have hurt you, lied to you, stolen from you. And there's going to be conflict. Conflict always causes more unhappiness than anything else in your life. You can write that down. You can underline it and circle it with a red pen, because it will do it every time. Conflict causes more unhappiness than anything else in your life. You could have an account full of money, a wallet stuffed full of cash. You can have all the success, all the fame in the world. But if you have conflict in your relationships, you're going to be unhappy. You can't be truly happy until you learn how to reduce that conflict. To reduce conflict in your life, here's the key. It doesn't take a textbook. It doesn't take a college degree. It's humility. No other single action in our lives will be able to remove conflict as deeply as humility. Learning to build the habit, here we go back to the habit of humility in your life, will impact every relationship in your life. Matter of fact, there's a verse. Since I'm by myself tonight, I can use whatever Bible verses I want, because I'm alone. So Proverbs 13:10. Proverbs 13:10 goes like this. Pride leads to arguments. Does it get any more clear than that? Pride leads to arguments. Be humble, take advice, and become wise. In that, you will end up reducing the conflict in your life. So, how do we do that? Number one, we need to eliminate the pride. Pride is the root of every bit of sin that we have in our life, every bit of wrongdoing that we have in our life. It's all about pride. If I want to say, hey, I'm going to sneak out of the office tomorrow early and not tell the boss and just sneak onto the elevator, nobody hopefully see me go down to the parking garages and all of that stuff. It's all about pride. I think I can outdo them and outsmart them, and I get to do what I want because, dadgummit, I work hard and I deserve it, right? Well, let's be honest with you. That's pride. And we don't want any part of that. Every conflict that you involve with has something to do with pride. If you want happy, healthy relationships, we got to try to purge that from your life. But understand this, eliminating pride is countercultural. Countercultural. Everything in our world, in our culture, will push you in the absolute other directions. Our society rewards pride. Our society will pay the most money to the most arrogant athletes, the most arrogant celebrities and entertainers. The people with the biggest egos get the fame. But it's not just celebrities. Often the people we know who get the big breaks, the promotions, the kudos, the big invitations are those who bring the most attention to themselves. And, you know, I cannot stand getting on LinkedIn hardly anymore. That's about the only social media that I'm even on anymore. I mean, I'm on Facebook, but it's just for the books and it's just for the radio show and things of that order. So people have a way to get contact information of me, but I never get on there and answer anything or like anything. But LinkedIn, I won't respond to people on there. But if somebody messages me through there, I'll respond to that. But I scroll through LinkedIn every now and then, and I see so many people blowing their own trumpet. And I want to write them or text them or message them and say, really? Please. Is this all about you? And in reality, I guess it is. That's all what people want. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm not saying that's wrong. And if you do that, God bless you. But it makes me, gives me a bad taste in my mouth. I don't want to do that. I want to be able to share with people the things I do wrong and how I got through it. The experiences that I'm dealing with in my life and how I endured it. How you have so much pain in a body and can still force yourself to get up and go to work. Those type of things. How can I help one more person? That's the only reason I'm breathing, is to be able to reach out and hopefully help one more person. But it's countercultural. Everything that you see on TV, on all these award shows, is about, I want this to sell more albums. I want this to get more fame. I do this to get more votes or whatever. And that really gets old. And I think eventually we just need to try to eliminate pride, selfish ambition, which basically says it's all about me. And that vain conceit that basically says I'm always right and you're always wrong. Eliminate pride. Put other people first. Put other people first. When you're humble, you don't act like you know it. Instead, you treat other people with respect. Relationships aren't a 50-50 deal. Healthy, God-fearing, God-honoring relationships are 110 and 110. In other words, you try to outdo one another in honor. Too many of us misunderstand humility. It's not about saying, hey, I'm worthless, I'm no good, I'm nothing. That's false humility. And it's degrading. And to be right honest with you, God doesn't want any part of that kind of attitude, because God doesn't make junk. Humility isn't thinking less of ourselves. It's thinking of yourself less. Whoa. Think about that. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It's about putting other people first. Humility has nothing to do with what you think of yourself. Humility is what you think about other people. I'm going to let that kind of soak in. Let's marinate that piece of meat inside your brain here, inside your head. It's called gray matter. Let's let that marinate for a second. We're going to take a commercial break and be on the other side of this. If you want to call, looks like we got a lot of people commenting, a lot of people texting, but feel free to call 888-627-6008. And TJ, run this minute and 22 second commercial, and we'll be right back on the other side of this. I'd love to hear your thoughts about what I'm talking about, and eventually we're going to get to holidays. Don't leave us. We'll be right back. Hang with us.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, learning how to turn life's pain into life's power and purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
All right, welcome back. Have you been thinking about that? Humility? Isn't thinking less of yourself as thinking of yourself less? That's pretty powerful. You know, in reality, if you walk into a room and you wonder what everybody else is thinking about you, that's not humbleness. That's being prideful. But if you walk into that same room wondering how you can help people in that room, that's humility. It's what it's all about. I have problems sometimes getting good guests on the program. I could get a lot of guests on the program because everybody wants to be on to be interviewed. Everybody has something to sell, some workshop, some coaching gig that they're trying to get money on. But I'm really selective. I really want to make sure the people that come on have the right mindset of, hey, I don't want this to just promote me, although I want them to hold up the books and say, hey, this is how you can get a hold of it. This is where it's at on Amazon or whatever. But I want to find out their heart. What is it that makes you want to help somebody else? And that humbleness is a great thing. And it's a process we have to learn. Another thing I think we need to learn to find out this habit of happiness is we need to learn a lost art. There's a lost art out there. You know, I noticed this in the music world. And there's my piano. That's a lost art. There's not too many people, at least it doesn't seem like it, that want to go and play the piano. Not like it used to be. Good night. When I lived up in the middle part of the country, I was doing piano lessons and giving piano lessons, and there's people waiting in line to take piano. Now I don't think that's the case, at least not that I'm aware of. It's a lost art. It's kind of fading with the times. There's another lost art that happiness and humbleness and relationship building needs, and that is the lost art, and we need to learn it, the lost art of paying attention. We live in a world of distractions. It's hard to focus and pay attention in our lives to what really matters most. Our tools, our technology have trained us not to pay attention to other people. We often pay attention more to the screens in our life than we do to the people. Matter of fact, there'll be somebody standing right here talking, and we'll walk into my office and I'll be watching this. In all reality, in all good sensibility, you need to put that phone down flat, face down, turn the screen off of the computer or close the laptop lid and look at them directly. But we don't. We may miss something. What are we going to miss? We're on that screen hours and hours a day. What are we going to miss? We need to learn that new art again of just learning how to pay attention to people instead of the screens. If you're going to be humble, you have to learn how to pay attention. Humble people care more about what's going on in their own agendas, and they're more interested in also what's going on in other people's lives as well. Of course, again, it's not natural. By nature, we only care about what matters to us. You'll never find harmony in your relationships or true happiness in your life by doing what's natural. Learning to pay attention to other people. Oh, this is going to hurt. This is going to step on my own toes too. Learning to pay attention to other people is an act of love. Your attention is the greatest gift you can give somebody else. Why? You'll never get more time. You can get more money. But if you give somebody your undivided attention, you never can get that time back. That's powerful. That's something that I really would like for each of us, me included, to think about as we go into this holiday season. Now, next week, probably already, I was at a Kroger and HEB over the weekend, just running in and picking up some things. Starting to get pretty busy. Everybody's gearing up for the big day. Everybody's getting their turkey. Everybody's getting stuff ready for the holidays. And I think it's essential to understand and recognize the holiday blues. I'm not a big holiday person, although I love what it stands for. I love what it's based on. Founding the country and coming over on the Mayflower and all that traditional stuff. But then just the years of those memories of Thanksgivings at Grandma and Grandpa's house and being around the table with all the family, all your cousins and nephews and nieces and kids running through the house and having all those memories and Grandma saying, "Hey, Greg, go out and drop the bucket in the well and pull up some more water." Those kind of things that brings a smile to my face. I love those times. It seems like those times somehow get crushed with new events that happen in our life that take the happiness out of the holidays. And there's literally a phenomenon called SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. And if I have time, we'll talk about it. If not, we'll talk about it next week in the intro of the program, even more depth. But first of all, when we go into the holidays this coming week, it's essential that you recognize how you're feeling, that you keep an idea and your finger on your pulse of your emotional, your mental attitude and your mental gauge of where it's at, your energy level, and noticing if you're feeling more down, if you're feeling more irritable, if you're feeling more tearful, if you're just more exhausted than normal, if you're having difficulty sleeping, or your appetite is less than usual. I think that's a signal and a red flag to actually reach out to somebody for some help. I think that's something that we don't want to push off too far. And some of you that are listening tonight may have already been diagnosed with depression, or maybe you have an anxiety disorder in your past. And it may be time to check back in with your clinician, with your therapist, with your counselor, and to adjust that treatment, because holidays pours fuel on a lot of people's flames, and it could be flames of joy or flames of despair. And when that happens, we have to be able to keep it contained. And I think it's important that you take some time to just say, hey, where am I at right now? And it's easy to do. You take a journal and you open it up and say, hey, today is what? November 23rd, Sunday. I'm feeling this. And you start writing down where you're at. Pause. Where are you at emotionally? Feeling agitated. I'm nervous. I'm anxious. Where are you at mentally? There's a closet of despair that's starting to open the door. A darkness that's starting to come over you or me towards the nighttime, or as the week gets closer to the holidays. Where are you at when it comes to that? And you start writing that down. Where are you at spiritually? Are you drifting away? And maybe you just need to spend a little more time with your creator of sharing that heart. And where are you at? And go through all those different areas and check yourself out physically, relationally. Am I sleeping well? Am I eating well? What's my level? Where am I at? How full? This would be a good little thing to write on that journal. A little gauge. How full is your gas tank right now? Are you running on empty? Well, let me encourage you that if you are, you need to swing by the emotional and mental gas station and put a few more gallons in, because this week is going to drain you. This week is designed to cause all kinds of self-motivated anxiety and stress. Oh no, I have to make sure I get that turkey. I have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to turn the oven on. I have to do this. And we automatically put goals in mind that just are not reasonable for us to have. So you need to make sure you have enough fuel in your tank emotionally to get you through. And this seasonal affective disorder is literally a sleeping giant lying dormant, okay, for three quarters of the year. And as the days get shorter and the nights get darker quicker, I hate that the sun doesn't get to come down in the evenings for the show. It's dark 2 hours before we even come on anymore. And as whatever part of the country you're in, the snow starts to fall, people automatically, fat, will automatically start having less energy. And they're less likely to be productive. And that sad seasonal affective disorder starts creeping in, and you begin to have a feeling of hopeless. There's no reason to carry on. And the common symptoms for this disorder, this type of depression, is so important to be able to recognize. And you can eliminate that hopelessness, that those anxieties, that lack of energy by literally getting more light. And two, going outdoors, even if it's out here on the balcony. I can unplug the computer right now and just go out and walk out onto the balcony. Just getting outside is God's way of bringing energy back inside of you. So you need to get more light, outside light preferably. Don't turn on every light in the house, but if you're sitting in a dark room, turn on some lights and then get outdoors. And then try to pick up new hobbies. Try to accomplish something that you haven't accomplished or you needed to tackle. You need to start eating more. You need to start trying to put more whole grains in you. You need to start putting vegetables in you. You need to start putting more protein in you. And there's some tips that I want to leave you before we close the program out to try to avoid this holiday stress. This Grinch that wants to come in and steal the holiday joy and happiness, or that Scrooge. And I can think of probably four or five other movies that have that type of person in it. But the one thing you may want to write these down is try to follow a schedule. It's important to try to have things lined out. I try before I leave the office every day, just on a typical day, write out what I want to accomplish tomorrow. And right now, when I get to work tomorrow morning, I have what I want to accomplish by Wednesday, and I have what I want to accomplish by December 1st, right there on my to-do list. For this week, write down what your schedule is going to be. That's going to help you keep that mindset, because when you go through this seasonal, if you have this, affective disorder, it creeps up on you. You're not going to want to do anything but just sit there. Just want to sit in your recliner and go, well, I'll just do it tomorrow. But writing things down, scheduling out your day, and then try to stick to that plan is huge. And if you need to, break those things down into smaller items. I need to get groceries. I need to do this. And then right beside that, here's the groceries I want to make sure I don't forget. I need to fill up the car with gas before it gets too crowded at the gas stations. I need to order this. I need to call so-and-so. I need to drop this package off at the post office, whatever it is. And don't assume that your mind is going to be able to remember those things. Second thing, follow a schedule, write things down, and write things down that boost your mood too. Add something in there that makes you feel your best. Not this isn't for me, but going by Starbucks, getting that morning coffee. Don't ever be so busy that you don't take care of yourself and give you something that can make you feel better, that you really, really enjoy. Also put on there tips to help your day get more positive. And another thing is, even though this isn't me, but it could be you, limit your alcohol use, because alcohol is an automatic depressant. And if you lean on to alcohol to try to cope with stress, it's going to end up backfiring, because it can affect your mood and it can affect your sleep. So you want to try to always limit alcohol, especially during holiday social events, and try to not have more than one or two if you need to, or completely ditch alcohol together and enjoy the holiday drinks, hot chocolate and things like that, hot cider, apple cider, things of that order. Plan something for yourself for the holidays. Always keep an eye on what you're eating. Here's one. And I used to do this, and I really, really want to go back to doing it. Not for sure I'm going to get to this year, but hopefully I can in upcoming holidays. Volunteer somewhere. Give of yourself. Some of the most awesome holiday memories is when I used to go to Denny's and I would sit there Thanksgiving morning, Thanksgiving afternoon, and notice people sitting alone. One time I was down here at this Denny's and I bought the entire one side of the restaurant. I just told the waitress I want all the tickets of everybody that's sitting on this side, and didn't let them know who did it, just to show, and that made me feel good. But volunteer somewhere. Go down to one of the serving lines. Go down to Star of Hope down here in Houston. There's a lot of food banks and things like that. To be able to volunteer, you don't have to volunteer the entire holiday weekend, but just a couple hours, and help that de-stress you a little bit. And then the last thing, and then we're going to go ahead and log off, TJ. Set boundaries. And I talk about boundaries a lot, but boundaries are important. Be comfortable with saying no to certain things and to people that may cause you stress. You're wore out. You've just been with your family. And Uncle Bob says, "Hey, let's go down to the club for a couple hours. Come on, let's do it. We deserve it. Come on. The family's all going to bed. Let's go down and have a little party of our own." And you don't feel like doing anything and you're just exhausted? No. Set boundaries that you're comfortable with. Set healthy boundaries with things, with people, with family. And it's even more important during the holiday season. And we'll get into this maybe closer to the first week or two of December when we're in that. I think we have a guest on that's going to be talking about this too. Set boundaries also financially. Don't allow the celebration of Christ's birth at Christmas to drain you of all the credit that you have on your credit cards and then cause you stress for the rest of the year or for the first 6 months of the year. Why do we do that? Well, it's because the world's saying they only love you if you buy them all of these things. That's not true. They want you. They want your time. They want your attention. And they want your love. So set boundaries. You don't have to be Julia Child, Martha Stewart at Thanksgiving. You don't have to have everything perfect. Matter of fact, I would leave the china in the cabinet and pull out a Dixie plate and, hand those out. And then when we're done, toss them in the trash. Don't get so caught up that everything has to be perfect because the only thing perfect around that table Thursday at lunch or dinner is the relationships that you have with people and how you love them. Make that the attention. Be humble, love them, forgive them. Go ahead and let Uncle Bob be Uncle Bob, whatever it is. but care for them and treat them like you would want and deserve to be treated. I tell you what, I'm going to end it there. I still have a whole bunch more to say, but we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today. If there's anything I can do for you, if you just need somebody to talk to, 832-396-6525, text me and we'll set a time to chat. I don't charge for that. It's free of charge just to try to help you out in any way I can. But I hope and pray that you have an awesome Thanksgiving. And let me tell you, as we close the program, we do this every week, but it's so important as we go into these holiday weeks, okay? No matter what's happened to you, no matter what chair is going to be empty this year, no matter how lonely you feel, there's always hope. There's always hope. And there's a Lord and Savior that's never going to leave his throne. And he's there. So if you're spending it alone or spending it with 50 people of your family, either way, there's always hope. Find the good things in the people and love them and care for them and create a memory that'll never fade. But it's a memory of joy and happiness and gratitude and thankfulness. God bless you. Have an awesome Thanksgiving this coming Thursday. And we'll see you next week right here, probably with a little more weight on you. But we're still going to be here live for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence. We'll be right back.